The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Great energy in the ballpark early. Game one of the NLCS. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out with a high fastball. Ashby puts up a zero in the top of the first. Is a fly ball to center. It's hit pretty well. Freelix back. Freelix at the track. Freelix settling up at the wall. He jumps up and he caught it. Oh, he bobbled it, but he ended up catching it, tagging it. Third is Hernandez. Here's the throw home. And he is going to be out at the plate. So now the Brewers are going to have another out at third as Contreras is going to run to the bag and double him off. Fly ball high in the air to right. Back is Churio, still back, and it's gone. 2-2 on Terang. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss, and he struck him out. Went to a fastball about neck high. And Blake Treinen gets the final out of this ballgame.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever.
No, don't do that.
What?
Don't do it.
What? Had an opportunity to steal the game. Had
this isn't football. It's baseball.
Yeah.
You bounce back.
No, you do.
They got the best flushing system in all of sports. Flush it.
Got a great plumber.
Yeah. You backed one out. It was huge. Didn't go down. Who cares? Jam it down there. It's fine. We got our guy on the mound tonight, Steady Freddy. All is well. What a great game.
It was a really good game. And if I wasn't there or a fan of the team that it was happening to, like, it would have been great to watch. Like, if this happened in the American League series and somebody threw the way Blake Snell did yesterday, Chew, it would be enjoyable to watch. Like, I can't believe this guy's throwing that well. But to have it happen to your team and be there, it's just... And you heard it in the clip, the first strikeout that Jeff Levering called, and Jeff going to be joining us later today as he does every Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Like, the energy in the ballpark, Chew, was awesome. Like, especially to start the game. It was so different than game one against the Cubs. Like, this was just a palpable buzz. Yeah. Like, it was, everybody was ready to go. And just waiting for anything to cheer about offensively. And just could not get anything until the ninth inning. Because Blake Snell was that good, man. Like, his changeup was outrageous. The number of times he got guys out in front and swings and misses on that changeup was, it was just dumb.
Are these hard to get over, though, in the playoffs? Regular season, yeah.
That's a good question. I think the fact that they put together, because the book on the Dodgers, Chew, is get to their bullpen. Like, if their starting pitching's really good. You know, obviously, they've got Blake Snell. Shohei Ohtani's going to be going later in the series. Same thing with Tyler Glasnow. I mean, Yamamoto's pretty good, but he's probably... I mean, again, saying he's the worst of those four is whatever. But you get to their bullpen, and then the Brewers got to their bullpen in the ninth inning, and were really close to just stealing one.
They had a chance.
Just really close to... Like, if Contreras doesn't walk, you know, he somehow just gets a little bleeding blue pit somewhere, you steal a win. And the fact that they got to the bullpen, I think, kind of gives them that confidence going forward into game two today.
They just have to fly, because you would rather lose, or I would personally, 6-0, right?
Sure.
6-0, you're like, man, we didn't have it tonight.
Kind of like they did in
whatever.
Kind of like they did in game four against the Cubs.
Yeah, yeah. This one is just right there, but it's okay. It's okay. It'll be fine.
And I really thought they were going to win, Chew, after quite possibly the craziest double play in baseball history.
Definitely. I had to have it explained to me like 10 times. Now, I went to bed. I'm not going to tell you when. But my wife stayed up texting the other kids, watching the whole thing.
Really?
And said it was
She's just into it? Yeah.
Yeah, she's. And it's not that I'm not into it, but if.
I mean,
give me the day off tomorrow.
When it's over, it's over. Yeah, when it's. You just. Sometimes the day is over.
So I had to have it explained to me. This is what I initially thought.
Okay.
Isn't it weird how there's, you think, oh, with all the football we watch, there isn't a play out there that we haven't seen. And it always happens that we do. And it was kind of one of these plays yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I initially thought because it hit his glove first.
Yeah.
And then bounced off the wall, the ball is still in play.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, when it hits the wall, a catch.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like in football, it tips off of, you know, that yeah. tips off of a player and then you catch it. It's still a live ball. That's what I didn't know what the hell was going on. So it's like the ball is not dead and yep. it was a forced play
yep.
at home.
Correct.
And then I thought, Gabe, because the ball wasn't secured and he left third base too early, it wasn't a proper
tag up situation. Okay.
Yes.
So that's
and then
where
I'm like.
So then
I had to have it explained.
In the ballpark, like, credit to the umpires for getting it correct. Because
yes.
After a little bit, I realized what had happened, but they weren't showing a replay because it wasn't being reviewed, right? Like, the umpires were just getting together,
sure.
so they're not going to put the replay up there, you know, because that's just, you just can't have the replay going out while the umpires are trying to discuss what exactly happened. So I did not know. I mean, obviously, I knew the ball was loose and he brought it back, but I didn't know if the ball had hit the wall, if it didn't hit the wall. So I'm sitting here thinking that he caught it and going, okay, so they're ruling he didn't catch it. So now I'm rooting that he didn't catch it because then you get the double play. You're out of the inning because the bases were loaded. And
yeah.
credit to the umpires for getting that call right. Because
where were you, in left field?
I was, yes. I was in left
okay,
field.
Okay, so you didn't really have the greatest angle then.
No.
To see it.
To see if it hit the wall or not. Right? Like just
I mean Frelick didn't even know what the hell was going on.
that might have been the best part. When
he's
they,
like, what happened?
Well, and he threw an expletive in there too. Like if you are reading
yeah.
lips, he's just like looking up. Because again, they're not showing a replay, so he doesn't even know what happened. And he just goes, what the bleep just happened?
Yeah.
And when
yeah,
the play,
that was weird.
And so technically, Chewy, the crazy part about that is so StatCast, you know, that they project, you know, the distance of the home runs and give us, you know, all the different at, like, for example, StatCast is the one that tells us that the 45-degree launch angle of the Freddie Freeman home run is the second highest home run in terms of launch angle in postseason
yeah,
history.
Yeah.
Usually when it goes that high, it ain't leaving the ballpark, but he got obviously
yeah.
just enough of it. But StatCast had that projected at 404 feet. Because obviously it was going over the wall, and Sal brought it back
yes.
into the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it ends up being like a 404-foot ground into double play. Because technically, because there were force outs at home and at third, it becomes a ground into double play. Which
and
is
did I see that has never happened?
No.
In Major League Baseball history?
Nope. The 862 double play has never happened.
Isn't that insane? Just think of how many games have been played in Major League Baseball
yeah.
history, and
mm-hmm.
that's the first time it happened.
Yep.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah. So after a crazy play like that happens, you're sitting in the stands going, okay, like if something wonky like that goes our way, all right, we got to win this game now. Like something, yeah, Snell's pitching great, but he makes one mistake to somebody. They hit it over the wall. We can win this game 1-0. Obviously, doesn't end up happening. But
he didn't make any mistakes.
Right,
he did not make a single bleeping mistake.
No, he didn't. He was really good. The other question, were you surprised Collins started in left field? And he made an unbelievable play.
Yeah.
Defensive play.
Were
you surprised by that?
I guess I was a little surprised. Just because of the reluctance to put Sal in center in the previous series. I think they wanted to get Collins a start in the previous series, but once Jackson injured his hamstring, because Churio's mm-hmm. typically the guy that they put in center when, but if Blake Perkins isn't going to play, Sal plays in right, then Collins plays in left,
yeah.
and they have, then they have Jackson in center. But as he's, and I think the hamstring's getting better because there was a ground ball that he looked pretty good running down first base last night. Didn't have like the mm-hmm. hitch in his giddy up.
I didn't notice it on the broadcast, but I did see some people there saying there was some grabbing going on of that in the seventh for
I didn't see the grab. I thought he ran pretty well and obviously
what,
stayed
in the
game.
Field or at the plate, Josh?
At the plate. like before he ran. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he looked like he was moving pretty good.
Yeah.
But still, he's not moving 100%, so they don't want to have to ask him to cover all the ground in center field. So they just throw Sal out there to get Collins in. And like, I would not be shocked if today they start Bowers in left field. Keep Sal in center. Obviously, he made, I mean, it ends up being a wonky play, but the fact he brought that ball back, I think you can trust Sal Frelick in center field.
Oh, absolutely.
Keep Jackson in
right. He's a gold glover. He's a gold glover. He's fine.
Yeah. And I think Bowers, as well as he's swinging the bat, they want him in the lineup, and they don't want to take out they don't want to take Andrew Vaughn out of the lineup. So I think you could see, I think there's a chance we see Bowers in left. Maybe Yelly in left. I doubt it because they just seem pretty set on having Yelly be the DH. But I think Bowers could start in left field tonight. Just because he's been swinging the bat. He's the one who hit the ball the hardest last night. Ended up getting a ground rule double in his pinch hit appearance in the ninth inning. And I just think that they want him as a left-handed bat in against the righty tonight. And Andrew Vaughn just continues to put together quality at-bat after quality at-bat. And you put those two together. I mean, I think you want to try to blitz him early, and then you figure out your defense late in the game.
Is he short or is Ohtani tall?
Who are we talking about?
Vaughn. Because they were standing next to one another, and I'm like, holy cow.
I mean, six in one hand, half dozen really in the other.
Or Ohtani's tall. Ohtani's
pretty tall, but like he's not.
Okay.
Because you still have like Sal. Like Sal's a short guy.
Is Ohtani as good a pitcher as Snell?
No. No.
Not far off it?
But not for, he's not far off. But yeah, Snell's there. I mean, Snell throwing like that. I mean, he's just been a stud this postseason. You know, really, ever since. So he injured his shoulder, I think, like two or three starts into the season and missed 3 months, 4 months. Like, he was out for a long time and then finally pitched the last 2 months of the season. I think he only got roughed up like once. He's been so good for them since he's come back, and he just continued that. I mean, they're going to see Snell again later in the series, and there's no way he can be that good again later in the series. Like, it's just
Joshy,
almost impossible.
You're going to tonight's game?
That is the plan, yeah.
Okay.
Be there, grinding it out.
Joshy seems like he has a little harder time flushing than you, Gabe.
No, absolutely not. I'm just getting
You passed it?
Yeah, what can I do? This is how I treat every game.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're only
by the seventh inning, I was kind of like, what the hell are we supposed to do here? This guy, he's pitching. Aside from the Durbin hit, it was a perfect game.
Yeah, because Durbin got picked off.
He faced the minimum. It's like
the last person, by the way, to face the minimum in a postseason game through eight innings.
Yeah.
Don Larson, when he threw his perfect game in 1956.
Okay.
that was the last time that happened.
The ending was frustrating. You had your opportunity, but it felt like a miracle to even be in that situation.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I can't really hold it against Bryce Terang for getting out of the way. It's a natural reaction.
Yeah,
the ball was moving at him.
85-mile-an-hour slider's coming at you. You just kind of slide the hips back
and
a little bit.
And you see him immediately after he gets out of the way, he looks into the dugout like, oh, crap. That could have tied the game up there. Obviously, we're looking for a hit. We want to walk it off. But sometimes you run into a guy who has a game for his life.
Yeah. Well, and Ryan from Iguanago, Snell's a two-time Cy Young winner. He can be that good each time. No, he can't. Literally, did you not just hear me say he did something that hasn't been done since 1956?
Yeah.
Like, he might be really good the next time the Brewers face him. He's not going to be perfect through eight.
Yeah.
He's just not.
Right, so,
not perfect because he gave up the hit. Excuse me, retract that. Face the minimum through eight. He's not going to face the minimum through eight next time.
Yeah, and that doesn't. And I'm not really taking anything away from, like, the offense on that. The guy was every pitch he was making. As I was watching on the broadcast and we were watching on the stream last night, it was just like, goodness gracious.
Again, it's tough.
He's hitting every spot.
So it's tough to tell location, you know, unless you're, like, right behind home plate. I was not. You know, you could tell, like, the changeup was just working, though, based on the swings and misses he was getting everybody out in front. And people are just texting me. My baseball buddies are just, he's dotting everything.
Yes, it was. He was hitting every spot. He didn't I don't, to my recollection, miss like a, ooh, that was a good spot to take advantage of one.
Yeah.
That just like wasn't happening.
Well, and he was just so scared of throwing fastballs to righties.
Yes.
And then when he did, like when Jackson struck out looking, just dots a perfect yes. one at the knees on the inside corner. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's tough.
Sometimes that's you just tip your cap.
Hey, those guys get paid too.
And that's why it's a seven-game series.
When did Mookie go to shortstop?
This year.
Yeah.
The whole year?
Yeah, he's been there the whole year. They started transitioning him kind of last year.
Yes, he played second too a little bit, didn't
he? Yeah, so he came up as a second baseman.
Yeah.
In the Red Sox minor league system before they moved him to the outfield, won a gold glove. Like, he might win gold glove at shortstop this year. That's how good he's been too defensively.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Hey, flush it.
Yeah. Again, this is why it's a 7-game series. Now it's Freddie's turn. Freddie's turn to go out there and do something fun in front of the home fans like Joshy tonight. We'll get to the Packers. Jason Wilde joining us next. But with a dedicated Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. For 15 years, we've been serving businesses, organizations, and individuals in the area with a longstanding commitment to the healthcare and not-for-profit sectors. Whether it's expansion to commercial payments, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions to navigate your organization's complex needs. Experience the difference at Fifth Third Bank. National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros in Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Gabe, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Like, it's a 7-game series, Jason, and over the course of a 7-game series, sometimes one guy throws a gem and does something that hasn't been done since 1956. That's why there's 7 games. It's just one. You got a chance to get it back today and head to Los Angeles tied at a game apiece.
I love your positivity. I'm not all that convinced that you mean that, but good.
Well, and honestly, Jason, a lot of it has to do with the ninth inning rally, because the book on the Dodgers is get to the bullpen, because Roky Sasaki is the one guy that they've actually kind of trusted a little bit. And then they roughed him up, and he was out of the game in 2/3 of an inning. So their bullpen, not very good. You get to it, and the Brewers can score runs. So hopefully they can score some runs against Yamamoto and then continue to pour it on against a bad bullpen tonight and let Freddie do his thing.
Yeah, I was listening to Levering on the call. I was walking the dogs during the ninth inning, and I kind of feel like it was a good thing, because if I'd have been watching it, I might have actually felt a little fanness, and I don't want to be doing that. That's never good, yeah. Well, base is loaded. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was. And there are some people, like Jeff is upset on the Carbless Talking text line that Terang needs to wear it. Look, yeah, would he have liked to have stood in there and worn it? Sure. But when there's an 85-mile-an-hour slider coming at you, I think natural reaction is just kind of jump out of the way. I think on Twitter last night, Jonathan Lucroy, a former Brewer, put it perfectly. If he was trying to get hit, he wasn't trying to get a hit. And you can't do both, he said. If you're up there, because everything's happening so fast, like, you can't try to do both. If you're trying to get a hit, you're not thinking about standing there, and you just kind of, you pop out of the way. It's the way it works.
Jason, take away from the Bengals game. It's a win, but it felt kind of odd. Just felt odd.
Odd. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Park the car, I need a quarter. I would agree. Look, to me, the biggest takeaway, though, is they got the run game going. Mm-hmm. you know, they lost Trey Hendrickson. They're not very good to begin with. TJ Slayton is a pretty good run stuffing dude, though. And I thought that was the most encouraging thing. I mean, you know, the fact that it was Josh Jacobs' flu game, which I felt very old when I looked this up as I was writing it last night. Josh Jacobs, not yet born for the flu game. So that
was for the
fun.
MJ flu game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, that was in the 97 finals. Josh Jacobs born 1998. So this must be what Homer feels like. Like, I'm starting to get in that area where I'm like, oh, my God, this guy. Like, because I was writing it, and I was like, well, I should probably explain this because, you know, some younger readers aren't, maybe they don't know, or maybe they didn't watch, you know, The Last Dance. And so I was just curious to see how old Josh Jacobs was. I figured, you know, he's probably a toddler. Not even born. So, look, he had 150 total yards from scrimmage. He had two touchdowns. He did it while he was puking, as he said, before, during, and after the game. So, I mean, I thought that was a big encouraging sign. I thought Love was really good, except for one really misguided decision. So I think there's some stuff that to me, and I know, Gabe, you feel this way too. Like, I just want to understand what the hell the defense's deal is.
Yeah.
Like, they looked like the 85 Bears the first two games, and the fourth quarter points they were giving up in those games were total garbage points. Like, I looked at it as they won the one game, 27-6. And they won the other game, you know, basically 27-13 or 27-10. And they got garbage points late from both those opponents. But now, and I mean, this number just blows me away. They've given up 102 total points. 80 of them are after halftime. And 63 of those are in the fourth quarter and overtime. And when I asked LaFleur about it yesterday, he didn't
have a real answer for you, Jason.
No. And he said, and you know, he's like, yeah, Jeff Hafley and I we're just spending all this time trying, are we not in good enough condition? And like, you know, what's crazy about that defense is that they're in a position where they're trying to figure out two things now. Why can't they close out games, and why can't they get a takeaway?
Is part of the answer to that the same thing? Because when I take a look at the defense, Jason, obviously missing Devontae Wyatt, it's bigger than maybe I would have anticipated it being, but there's no way that can be the complete answer of, oh, no. Devontae Wyatt's out, that's why this team can't figure this out. Like, he's important. He's not that important. Is it?
Yeah.
Is part of it, that though, Jason, the corners just aren't good enough, and I overestimated how good they were going to be?
Yeah, I mean, they're good enough if you're getting pressure. And I don't think they're terrible by any means.
But they couldn't even be sticky for the second and a half in the second half. Because, I mean, Joe Flacco averaged, I think, 4.9 yards per completion, right? Like, it wasn't – he's getting rid of the ball quickly. So be sticky. Get up to the line of scrimmage, be sticky for 2 seconds, and they couldn't handle that.
Gabe Neitzel's advice this morning, be sticky. I agree. I also would say, and look, this is another thing that they have to figure out. So, I think it was during McCarthy's time. Rodgers was definitely still the quarterback. They brought out these clocks, and they were like long, narrow, like the possession arrow on the scorer's table. Like kind of long with just like possession with the arrows on each side, and they flip the little thing, and all it was a timer, and it was the goal was to get the ball out in 2.5 seconds, right? So, and we learned at the time, okay, the kind of the NFL standard is to be effective, you want your quarterback to have the ball out of his hand in 2.5 seconds or less. It's funny that they would do this exercise with a guy that was known for extending plays and making his lineman block for 5, 6, 7 seconds. But LaFleur mentioned it yesterday. They've been doing like a study of how quickly opposing quarterbacks get the ball out of their hand, and it's like 2 seconds flat. Now that may not seem like a lot of a half second, but it's a huge difference in terms of getting a pressure or getting a sack versus not. Right? I mean, the one sack they got, the Lucas Van Ness was shot out of a cannon. Like, I feel like Brown was still in his stance and he was already sacking Joe Flacco. So I don't know what they're going to do about that. Are they going to start sending more pressure? Are they going to do more simulated pressures to confuse people? Because, again, that's another one of those things at the start of the year. Oh, my God, Micah Parsons is here. You know, Rashawn Gary's leading the league in sacks. And now the last two games, that's another component of the why is the defense not doing this, that, and the other thing?
Jason, did you see Micah Parsons' brother's tweet?
No. And I'm troubled that you did, I need to do a better job of following this stuff.
He's not a fan of Hobbs, let's put it that way.
He said he's pretty bad. Is that going to be a problem in the locker room?
Well, I kind of feel like I said that too, so I hope I'm not in trouble. Look,
you can't do that. I don't care if it's your brother. You call your brother up and say, "Hey, just tone it down. I don't need to deal with this in the locker room." Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Although, what's the genesis of that? Right? Were they talking after the game, and Micah Parsons said that, or is that just his own opinion, all of his own volition? We should set him up with Greg Jennings' sister. Greg Jennings was at the game. Maybe Greg Jennings' sister was there. Maybe they hung out a little bit and said, "You know what? We need to say more things about our brother's teammates."
Packers players' siblings club.
So yeah, no, you're obviously you don't want that. I mean, I'm trying to picture like, I don't know, Frankie Bag of Donuts' family situation, but if he had brothers. I'm sure he had opinions about the tight end and other people.
Oh yeah,
but they probably didn't. They kept them to themselves. They didn't have the forum to be saying stuff like that.
Could you imagine the Favre family having the ability to tweet when Brett played?
Oh my God!
Oh my Lord!
I know we give you a hard time on this show from time to time, but that may be the greatest observation in the history of the program.
You imagine Meemaw coming off the top rope?
Oh, God. Scott, put down the phone, bro.
Jason, what is the hesitancy of Matt LaFleur to feature Matthew Golden or Tucker Kraft more? Because to me, it's pretty obvious that when the ball is in those guys' hands, something special can happen. And after the game, he was asked about it. He continued to be annoyed about it, just saying, "Hey, this is the way we do things." Why does he not want to feature his best players? Because saying that, Jason, to me is like, okay, then why are you giving Josh Jacobs, you know, right now, Emmanuel Wilson has 18 carries, Josh Jacobs has 98. Well, how come Emmanuel Wilson isn't getting more carries if we're just spreading the ball around and not featuring our best players?
I need to get you to a press conference. I agree with what you're saying. I was looking at the targets yesterday, and Romeo has the most targets in part because he had 9 on Sunday, which seemed a little imbalanced, right? I don't know how much that is on LaFleur. I don't know how much of that is on Love. I agree with you. Like, Golden, I think, has 18 targets, and like Tucker Kraft is like 19. They're all kind of clumped together.
Yeah, so I've got them here. Romeo leads the team with 28. Tucker has 22. Golden and Jacobs have 19. Dontavian Wicks has 18.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they don't have Watson back. They don't have Reed back yet, so that'll change at some point, sooner obviously than later with Watson. But I do believe what LaFleur is saying. Like, if, and Chewy can explain this far better than me, but like, you can have Tucker Kraft be the number one option or Matthew Golden be the number one option on a higher percentage of plays. But the problem is that, and I have not gone through the all 22 to see if I can read out the progression and see how often those two guys are at the start of it. But, I mean, they really do believe that they can put anybody in any spot and then they can just read it out and Love will deal the ball to whoever is the most open. But I agree. Like, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, those two guys appear to be different, right? Like, for all this talk about how, oh, we got all these number one wide receivers and whatever else, we always knew that was kind of bogus. But, like, when you see a guy like Golden, I mean, the catch he makes on the sideline, and, I mean, unbelievable throw by Love. You know, that was a Rodgers-esque drop it in the bucket. I mean, it was beautiful. But it's still a hell of a hard catch. And he makes it. And the thing about him is he makes these catches look easy. And, you know, I was giving Tausch a hard time because yesterday he had this revelation that Golden reminds him of Greg Jennings. And I was like, dude, I said that like a month ago.
I wonder where he heard that first, though, Jason. That's the real mystery, is where that idea came from.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the idea for him, you know, he doesn't always listen to me, and I don't blame him because I tend to ramble. But, like, Greg Jennings was at the game, and so was Tausch. I don't know if they saw each other, but he does. He glides, and he catches the ball with such strong hands that he's just a really fast version of Greg Jennings. So I agree. You would love to get him the ball more. He had all the diplomatic answers in the world. He doesn't have his first NFL touchdown yet, but you can feel it coming on, right? Like you can just sense that there, somewhere in a room inside 1265 Lombardi Avenue, the head coach isn't listening to this program, but he's thinking, you know, that Gabe Neitzel's got a point. We got to get the ball to those guys more. We got to move them up in the progressions more often. I mean, he's not stupid. He knows that. Whether or not his quarterback gets to them in the progression, you know, that's obviously dictated by coverage.
Jason, what can you tell us about the LVN injury?
It's not catastrophic. It sounds like he'll avoid IR. So it could have been a lot worse. You know, I was a little shocked that LaFleur even gave us the piece of information after the game when I asked that he didn't break anything. But then they did the MRI. You're the guy that had the plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what this is or what. I mean, it was like he got hurt on that sack. Like he was so explosive, he exploded right out of his foot. But LaFleur did not give us the details, but I mean, I would assume that they would classify him as week to week instead of day to day.
Jason, appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing you and the aforementioned Mark Tauscher coming up at 9 a.m. this morning on ESPN Milwaukee.
All right, boys. Always enjoy a Dude Tuesday. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Bucks basketball is back. It's time to play. The Bucks open up the regular season on Wednesday, October 22nd. Hard to believe. That's the Bucks regular season opening in about a week. And they are opening against Washington. Watch Miles Turner play his first regular season game for the first time as a Buck. Nothing compares to the energy of Fiserv Forum, the raucous crowd, the freakish slam dunks, the buzzer-beating three-pointers. Get in on the action with the ticket plan that works for you. Learn more at bucks.com/tickets.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Our conversations each and every time. We talk to Jason Wilde here on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up free packaging and supply chain assessment. LakelandSupply.com. So we were talking about the defense, Chewy, and I mean, Matt LaFleur does seem at a loss of, hey, Maybe we aren't conditioned enough, and that's why in the second half we're giving up a bunch of, you know, maybe we need to rotate guys out in the first half. But also, it seems like we're forcing a lot of three and outs in the first half, so they shouldn't be tired as the game goes on. As you look at this Packers defense, what is the first thing you would address to try and make sure that this team is playing better in the second half? The defense specifically playing better in second halves.
Shocked if it's a conditioning thing, and it really doesn't appear. I think it's more of they may be, I don't know if delusional is the word, but I don't know how effective they are at just rushing four. You know, Cincinnati's not a very good team.
No.
And I know Flacco was getting the ball out pretty quickly, but one sack in 45 snaps with Micah Parsons on your defense, not real great. In the corners, would you say the corners are what they are, or they're not playing well?
I think that it feels like to me that Keyshawn's playing pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he gave up the touchdown to Jamar Chase, but that was also just a ridiculous catch. Right? Like, sometimes when you're going up against someone, again, we've said it a couple times on the show, other guys get paid too, and turns out Jamar Chase gets paid a lot of money too. So he's going to make a catch like that from time to time. But I guess I'm just hoping that for Hobbs, it's just a lack of training camp time. He's going to get better, and like his knee is going to feel better, and he's going to get better as we go. But I fully admit that is a hope and not a, oh, yeah, he's going to be better type situation, right? Like, that's just what I'm hoping because they spent a lot of money on him and he has not been worth that contract to this point. Yet he could turn it around. I hope he turns it around. I just don't know that he actually is, and maybe this just is who he is.
See, I don't blame Halfley for last week's game plan and lack of aggressiveness because the most important stat, Gabe, at the end of the day, is winning the game. So you don't want to do anything with their two receivers to be able to get them a cheapie, where they're taking one for 60, they're taking one, for long yardage. And that's why, I think that's why a little bit everyone's scratching their head going, well, where's McKinney? You really don't want to McKinney.
He's that far. He's so far away from the line of scrimmage, Chew.
No, I know.
If he's throwing the ball in 2 seconds, like McKinney can't do anything.
I know, but you really don't want to put him into the position because they like playing robber coverage with him, where they'll go single safety, and then he'll come into the middle of the field where, you know, obviously crossing routes happen, and that's where he does his best business. Halfley was like, you know what? Let's just get out of here with a win. We're better than they are. Keep everything in front of us. And play it that way. It doesn't look good, but like I said, they won by 11, right?
Nine.
No one looks great. Hey, after last night's game,
right?
No one looks great.
No.
And we got power rankings coming up. I haven't taken a look. I have no idea who's going to be number one.
For the first time in a long time, because it feels
no idea.
Yeah, it feels like you could get a pretty good read on who that top team is going to be when we do power rankings during the season. You know, whether it's going to be the Chiefs or the Eagles, or it's been the Bills at different times this season.
Or Detroit.
Yeah,
and Detroit loses. I can tell you this, there ain't a big difference between whoever number one is and number eight.
Yeah.
Where usually it's like, all right, 1, 2, 3, gap, and then the rest.
So,
I mean, there's no one that is dominant, which is a good thing because, like I said, this dance does not start until week 12. And if you're playing good, if you're playing your best football down the line, I like your chances. So the Packers are fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they let one slip away in Dallas? Probably.
Yes.
Probably thought that was going to be a win.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you this, if they beat Dallas by 10, they'd probably be number one in the power rankings.
Would agree. I would agree.
They'd probably be number one. So am I concerned about the defense? I'm a little surprised on how they're not creating pressure with four. Yes, that's a little surprising, but doesn't mean they can't get there.
No, because we've seen this team get there, and I guess that's – I'm trying to balance two things at the same time right now because I am fully buying in – to what you're saying of, hey, like week 12 around Thanksgiving, that's when this thing truly starts. That's when we can start going, okay, who's looking good? And until then, you're just trying to collect as many wins as you can because they still count against the, you know, the wins and losses still count now. Yeah, you want to be playing your football best late in the season, but also you want to put yourself in a position where you pick up those wins and it means the division, a higher seed, things like that. But also, when things are wrong, I want to point those out and see if those get fixed because if they want to be playing their best football come week 12, 13, 14, the things that we're seeing defensively need to be fixed between now and then.
Josh, do you think we're being too nitpicky as Packer fans?
I think to a degree you could take it that way, but also we have to remember Brian Gutekunst made a trade for Micah Parsons, giving up all those assets to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It wasn't just to be a pretty good team and to look decent against one of the worst teams in the NFL right now. It was to for us all to be confident, to them to be confident, to be one of the best teams in all the NFL. And so far, it hasn't been that. It looked like it for two games. Yeah. And then it fell off the map. I by no means think we're overreacting, but we're reacting to what we saw. They have plenty of time to figure it out. We've got a lot of season left. A lot of things are going to change. But right now, what we've seen over the past three games hasn't been adequate.
But I don't think it's a bad thing to point out
of course, the
things that they need to work on. Because again, those are the things that I think as a fan base, you need to be keeping an eye on so they are playing their best football in late February and hitting the ground running and rolling during December into January. Because it does feel like, and again, the stat sheet looks good, Chewy, offensively too. I know we're focusing mostly on the defense here, but it feels like there's just a little something missing offensively that's going to take them to that next level. Because again, they had 400 yards. The third down conversions were good, but they just haven't had that. Yep, this offense is completely rolling. And maybe it's the running game finding its stride, and that's going to unlock a lot of different things going forward. But that's, again, just a couple of things to kind of keep an eye on, especially when you're playing the Cardinals, the Steelers, and you're having this run-up to some of those games we're talking about in November. If you're looking for a newer, nicer used vehicle, the Ewald Automotive Group can help increase your purchase power. During their used car rate reduction sales event, shop 600 quality pre-owned vehicles with no money down and no payments until 2026. Interest rates are coming down, so let them try to improve your situation today. It costs nothing other than a few minutes of your time to check them out. And you'll be glad you did with Ewald Automotive, no, EwaldAuto.com. Check that out. Locations, inventory, and more. Again, they're fantastic. I have trusted them ever since I moved to Milwaukee. In fact, my dad's looking for a new truck. He went to EwaldAuto.com. Found something that he liked on the info. Unfortunately, the truck he liked was pretty popular. It went, but now he's working with Ewald to try to find that right truck for him. You can do the same, and it all starts for you. EwaldAuto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Go ahead. Is it against the law to be a moron or no?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Let me tell you about our good friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. So many of us here at ESPN Milwaukee, including myself, trust Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Gina Della and the team she's put together at Pella. Easy to see why. This month, score a whole house of new, energy-efficient Pella Windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 60 months. It's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping the drafts. They've got so many different options, customizable options. You won't believe it. So don't wait. Schedule that free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
But it's all right.
Couple of responses to the Packers and the defense we were talking about here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Carb was talking text line, 800-990-3776. K-Walk says, there are no excuses in my mind. This team should be 6-1-1 going into the Monday night game with Philly. I mean, I think that's a possibility, but I think that the Steelers game is a more difficult game than what K-Walk is giving credit for. I think they can win that game, absolutely, Chew. But, I mean, that's that the way that defense is playing for Pittsburgh and the way that Aaron Rodgers has been pretty efficient for them, Like, that's going to be a tougher game, especially because it's on the road, than people probably want to admit.
Is Kyler Murray out this week?
Don't know.
Okay. The only thing that obviously scares you about going to Arizona is the heat. You know, because we had to deal with it sometimes in Tampa Bay.
But even if they have the roof closed there?
Yeah.
I guess I don't know the answer to this question, so you'll have to tell me. Like, when the roof is closed in a place like Arizona, like, I'm assuming it's not like dealing with the heat, like, in the open air when you guys opened in 96 down in Tampa.
Yeah. No, it's like playing in a dome, but who says the roof's going to be closed? I mean, if I'm playing, you know, a cold weather team where you're in the, 60s now and 50s, yeah, going to, my guess would be, 80s and 80s, you'd leave it open. And then, you know, you worry about pulls and things like that. That's why when we played warm weather, we would have Gatorades constantly in our lockers starting like Tuesday. And you had to drink them all because you hydrate, obviously, earlier because you are afraid of pulls. But I agree with you. Pittsburgh's not going to be a walk. That's a tough place to play. Their defense is solid. And Rodgers, you know, is going to be juiced up. Not to say that the Packers won't. But, I agree with you there. That's going to be a tough one.
Friend of show, Brewers COO Marty Aronsky. She joins us in 2 minutes. Jen Gabe-Drew.